Hey everyone, this is Carrie Champion, the host of Naked Sports.
The all-new 2025 Nissan Armada Pro 4X provides freedom. Freedom to explore, to go wherever you want, with your whole crew and all your toys. With a twin-turbo V6 engine, 8,500 pounds of towing capacity, and seating for eight, this unshakable fortress of a vehicle is built to take you on your next adventure. Drive the all-new 2025 Nissan Armada today. Learn more at NissanUSA.com. Intelligent four-wheel drive cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Columbus, mark your calendars. Concert for a Cause, presented by the Columbus Auto Dealers, is coming to Kemba Live on Saturday, August 9th. Catch multi-platinum country star Tyler Hubbard and powerhouse trio Runaway June live for one powerful night of music. All proceeds benefit the Butterfly Guild at Nationwide Children's Hospital, the Ryan and Christina Day Fund, and the Star House Foundation. Get your tickets now at cbusconcertforacause.com. One night, two incredible acts, three amazing causes. Don't miss out.
Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Maybe your car's paint is faded, or you've been meaning to fix that scrape from the grocery store parking lot. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. Now, here's the best part. Stop by your local Maaco, free estimate, and you're going to find out how easy it is to refresh your ride. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. And you can do so with the great folks at Maaco. At Maaco, they are proud to be a trusted partner for drivers across the country. Whether it's a fresh coat of paint for your car or fixing up everyday dents and dings, Maaco is here to keep your car looking its best. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
This is our continuing coverage in the trial of Shanda Vander Ark. A twisted story of a mother who depraved her own child of food until the point of death, even employing her oldest son in this torturous charade. We now take you to the courtroom for our continuing coverage.
You may be seated.
Sir Roberts, you can continue.
Thank you. Before we get back to the question I originally asked Ms. Vander Ark, you just obviously had quite a visual reaction there to the jury, a physical reaction in front of the jury looking at those photographs. That's not the first time you've seen these photographs, though, is it?
No, sir.
In fact, you sat in this very courtroom not even a week ago on Friday when we had a hearing about those photographs and looked at those photographs, didn't you?
I did not look at them last week, sir.
You didn't look at them last week?
No, sir, I did not.
But you've looked at them before, haven't you?
I think it was at the prelim, and I gagged that day, too. It just wasn't as bad.
Didn't throw up, though.
No, it wasn't as bad.
So if there's video from that hearing that we had last week where you thumbed through the photographs, including the autopsy photos, without vomiting, do you just not remember that as well?
We didn't have those photos over at our table, sir. It won't be on the video, I can promise you that.
Well, then I'll return to my original question. Those three photographs depict your son hours after you supposedly put him in a warm bath. Did he look like that when you put him in the warm bath, but for the fact that he was alive?
I did not look at him, sir. He was 15. I tried to give him his privacy. It may sound lame, but I intentionally look away. That's why Paul did most of his baths, is because he's 15 and I didn't think that was appropriate.
So you didn't put him in the bathtub?
No, he was already in the tub.
Did you get him out of the tub?
I don't remember. I think so later that night. I would assume so.
Later that night? How long was he in the tub?
Well, night to me is any time after work, so.
Okay. How long was he in the tub?
I don't think it was long after I got home, but I don't know.
And again, you didn't tell the police officers this when they talked to you about what had happened the night before, did you?
I don't remember. Apparently, I didn't.
Well, so you don't remember what you told the police officers?
I remember part of it, but, I mean, if you say I didn't tell them, then I trust your word there.
If you told the police officers that you noticed he was skinny, so you made him some bread and put some butter on it and watched him eat 3/4 of it and then sent him to bed, does that refresh your recollection about what you told the officers?
I mean, I hear what you're saying. I don't remember saying it, but...
So you don't remember saying those things to the police officer?
No, sir.
And those things clearly didn't happen, did they?
No, sir.
How did he get into his room that night?
I don't remember, sir.
Last page of the text messages. You can go ahead and read that very top text message, please.
Please set your alarm for 6 a.m. I ended up dragging him back to his small room because I wasn't going to risk him having access to the tub or other things overnight. He's still trying to be stupid, but I will tell you more tomorrow while I take you to work, describing how many different ways I proved that he's still faking. He's still doing it, though. It's beyond ridiculous.
I ended up dragging him back to his small room because I wasn't going to risk him having access to the tub or other things overnight. The plan was for him to sleep in the bathroom, wasn't it?
I don't remember, sir. I mean, I know that in the text message, but if that's what the text message says.
Okay. And you had to drag him back to the small room. Again, the small room being the closet, right?
Yes, sir.
Supposedly that he wanted to sleep in.
Yes, sir.
But you had to drag him there. Why was that?
Well, dragging, I mean, that could be anywhere from grabbing hold of an arm and because someone's not being cooperative. That can be a range of things, sir, so I don't know what I was referring to there.
You've seen the video, haven't you?
No, sir. I haven't seen any videos.
Do you need your memory refreshed about him getting back in the small room that night?
No, sir. I mean, like I said, I'll take the... I don't remember actually doing it.
Did you physically pull him into the room that night?
Yes, sir. I mean...
And did you push him down onto the ground so that he was laying and facing the camera?
If that's what it shows, then yes, sir.
And did you position his face towards the camera?
If that's what it shows, I...
And did you tell him that he owes you the biggest apology on the face of the earth and then maybe he can get out to go to the bathroom?
If that's what it shows, sir, I don't remember.
And did you return a little while later because he had rolled over away from the camera so that you couldn't see him on camera?
If that's what it shows, I don't remember any of this.
And did you tell him you don't need to open your mouth every time you breathe, dummy, and then hold his mouth shut?
I don't know what I said, sir. I mean, I'll take your word for that's what the video
is. Oh, you don't have to take my word for it. Let's play the video for you.
Sir, that's not necessary. That's what you're saying it shows. I believe you. I'm not.
So you're acknowledging that the night before Timothy died, hours before he died, you dragged him, looking like that, back into his small room, positioned him in front of a camera, told him he owed you an apology, then came back later because he rolled over away from the camera and held his mouth closed and said, see, you don't have to open your mouth when you breathe, dummy? You're acknowledging you did those things?
If that's what the camera shows, yes, sir.
You didn't put him in a warm bath that night, did you?
Yes, sir, I did.
But you had to drag him away from it?
If that's what it says, I don't... I know that he had a hoodie on.
You said the locks on the refrigerator were there because he got into the refrigerator, and if I heard your testimony correctly, he ate a pound of frozen hamburger?
Yes, sir. That was back.
And a bag of chicken nuggets?
A frozen bag of chicken nuggets, yes, sir.
And frozen hamburger?
Yes, sir. The hamburger was not frozen. It was refrigerated.
But frozen chicken nuggets?
Frozen chicken nuggets and raw bacon.
And raw bacon?
Yes, sir.
Frozen raw bacon?
No, it was in the refrigerator.
The frozen stuff was the chicken nuggets?
The chicken nuggets. That was the only frozen, yes, sir.
Did you think he had an affinity for frozen food?
I didn't know. The only thing he ate frozen was the chicken nuggets.
Is that why you sent a text message to Paul while he was in the ice bath at 3:43 that afternoon and said, oh, okay, crazy thought. Tell him if he actually sits up by himself and stays sitting up, he will get some pizza rolls. Don't tell him it's only two. And I'm okay if they are frozen rather than cooked. Why'd you send that text message?
I don't know.
Don't remember that, Yvonne, either?
No, sir.
So you're not worried about him eating frozen pizza rolls if he sits up?
If that's what it says.
You've heard it read several times. Yes, you're not doubting that's what it says, right?
Yes, sir.
Just another one of those memories that you just gone from your head, right?
Yes, sir.
So when you told Detective Pieske that the reason the locks were on the refrigerator is because he would get into them and he'd leave the doors open, that was a lie, wasn't it?
No, that was also true. He did that as well.
How does putting locks on fix that problem?
He can't get into it then, so it doesn't get left open.
Oh, no, so you admit that he was not allowed access to the refrigerator or the freezer or to the pantry?
As far as the refrigerator or freezer, after we put the locks on.
He couldn't get into them, could he?
No, not after that.
And the pantry had an alarm on it as well, didn't it?
No, it didn't.
Okay. We'll move on. We can circle back to that one. Let's talk about some of the other things that you told Detective Pieske. You told Detective Pieske that long after the stroke happened in January, Timothy went on a hunger strike. That was a lie, wasn't it?
Not long after. And no, that was not a lie. That was the truth.
He went on a hunger strike?
Yes, sir, he did. It wasn't immediately, but it was within a few days.
And a hunger strike is refusing to eat, right?
Yes, sir.
So he's refusing to eat food not long after your husband has a stroke, right?
Yes, sir.
Then you don't need to put locks on the refrigerator or freezer, do you, if he's refusing to eat?
He stopped. He started eating again.
He started eating again, so then you decided he's been on a hunger strike, he's eating again, so now we better lock up the food.
No, I did the locks to protect him because he could have killed himself eating the chicken nuggets. I didn't put the locks on after he did the hamburger or the bacon, but the chicken nuggets, it was raw chicken.
Chicken nuggets are cooked, aren't they? They're pre-cooked.
Are they? I didn't even think about that.
But it's okay if he has a frozen pizza roll or two, if he sits up, right?
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. February 18th, 2022. Find out what he has snuck right the heck now. Because I know he has snuck all stuff since you weren't doing what you were supposed to. What do you mean you didn't know he was awake? You both should have been awake at 10:30. I am not happy. You know he wasn't just sitting there. Check the brownies in the kitchen. Check everything not locked away. Check where the flipping keys have been. So starting February, you had to lock up all the food. Make sure he's not getting into the brownies, right?
All of the food was never locked. There's no pictures of it, but one of the lower cupboards had quite a bit of canned food in it. And he actually would get into that and eat stuff out of cans as well. But there was never a lock on that lower cupboard. I don't know if they... I know they took pictures of it because I showed it to them.
So he had access to one cupboard of food?
The pantry wasn't locked the whole time. I know that.
But there were times the pantry was locked or had an alarm on it, wasn't there?
There was no alarm. I never got one for the pantry. I've heard the text messages. I don't remember there being a lock on the pantry, but I've heard...
228, check his breath. I can almost guarantee he's eaten something. He was chewing on something when he walked downstairs. You and I will be talking about this on a later date when we're both home. Paul's response, yes, he grabbed some chips. I know. So he wasn't allowed to eat chips on 228 at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. Couldn't have some chips. Right?
I mean, I don't know what happened in that situation.
Well, you didn't say, make sure he didn't get into the frozen chicken nuggets because it might kill him. You said, find out what he's been into, and Paul says he's been into chips. Right?
That's what it says, yes, sir.
So I imagine the next text message then is, oh, great, that's fine, he can have some chips.
Well, no, the point of it was he was sneaking things. He knew better.
Couldn't have chips.
It wasn't that he couldn't have chips. It was that he would sneak things. It was dishonest.
How would he earn getting chips?
He didn't have to earn them. All he had to do was ask. I was trying to teach him not to sneak. He snuck. It wasn't just food. He would sneak in the garage. He would sneak toys. He snuck around and messed with his baby brother's homeschooling materials. I've got like flashcards and stuff for him. He messed with those and got them all out of order.
March 4th is around the time that you you acknowledged that he was in zip cuffs. We talked about that a little bit earlier, but I don't think we clarified your final text message where you said, you know what, we will start cutting off the ends once they are tight so he can't do that. Is that one of the can't remember texts too?
Yes, sir.
March 19th. Okay, that only makes partial sense. What did he grab? LOL. Paul's response, I don't know, chips or something small he had in his pocket. Okay, tell him he just restarted his not eating again. That was you. March 19th. Tell him he's just restarted his not eating again. So he took chips. So the punishment for that is now he's not allowed to eat anything again, right?
I don't remember, sir.
Don't remember that one. Okay. Talking about the punishment outside, Paul says, wall sits question mark, and they say, push him until it looked like he is about to fall over, please. That was for running up and down the stairs, wasn't it, on April 14th?
If that's what it says, yes, sir.
So you wanted Paul to run him up and down the stairs until he was ready to fall over?
That's what the text says.
What crime had he committed to warrant being physically driven until you fall over?
I have no idea, sir.
April 18th. He managed to come upstairs, yank the locks off of both the freezer and the pantry without you noticing, and he stole a bunch of crap that squished and rattled and did all sorts of stuff, and you slept through everything. KK, no devices until tomorrow, at least my lunch other than messaging me, which would be very little. Remember that?
I don't remember it, no, sir.
So, but if the text message said he yanked the locks off the pantry, then there were locks on the pantry as of April 18th, right?
Apparently.
April 26th, almost freaking caught him again. I want all the fruit in the fridge, freezer, or pantry, and those locked. So locking up all the food again on April 26th, correct?
Well, the cupboard still was never locked.
And what was in the cupboard?
A bunch of canned stuff. There's a bunch of cans in there. A
bunch of cans in there?
Yeah.
So you're okay with him getting into a bunch of canned stuff?
I mean, he got into it all the time.
So what, do you go to the drawer, get a can opener, open up the can, put it on the stove, warm the stuff up?
No, he didn't. He would eat it straight out of the can.
Well, that didn't worry
you. Weird.
Huh? That didn't worry you?
Well, when I discovered it, it did, but I just never put anything on that cupboard.
So what caused this almost freaking caught him? I want all the food in the fridge and the freezer, the pantry, those locked up, April 28th.
I have no idea, sir. Without having it in there, I don't know what caused it.
It's likely related to the text before that, isn't it?
I don't know.
He keeps pulling his arms down, and that doesn't set off the camera alarm, so please watch him for that. Well, why did he have his arms up?
He was standing against the wall with his arms on his head.
So he'd have to do that for long periods of time, right?
Stand there, but he didn't have to have his arms up the whole time, but I'd set a time limit on how long he had to have his arms up.
And you're either watching or watching an alarm to make sure his arm doesn't go down, right?
From the sound of it.
The response to you about from Paul about locking up the food, it's just he pulled the pantry door lock. What do you mean he just pulled it? Did he take it off? Paul says, yes, that part that attaches to the wall is dangling right now due to sticky locks. Okay, get another one on it right away. Last I saw, they were on the floor in a bag in my room. And you need to make him run up and down the stairs a ton for that, even in the cold and rain. So trying to take some food, not in his cabinet full of canned goods, and pulling the alarm, the pantry lock off, means he doesn't get food, it all gets locked away, and he has to run the stairs, even in the cold and rain, right?
Him being deceitful and sneaky.
He was deceitful and sneaky a lot, wasn't he?
Yes, sir, he was.
Did I ever hurt you? It's because he was hungry?
He was that way well before there was issues, well before the stroke. I mean, we always had issues with him over that. His stepmom warned me about that.
Well, before there were, you said, well, before the issues, what issues?
Before his first hunger strike, before any of this, he was extremely sneaky.
Did it ever occur to you that this is not the way to deal with a person who's been on a hunger strike? Locking up their food, locking up their access to food, punishing them when they try to take food? Did that ever occur to you with your brilliant legal mind, as it was, that that wasn't a good idea?
I don't know. I don't know what I was thinking.
April 27th, Timothy is no longer allowed anywhere near the fridge, freezer, or pantry, or any other place where food is. So now it sounds like he can't even get into his cabinet full of canned goods, right?
I mean, that's what it said. We never put it, there was never a lock on that.
But he wasn't allowed near it.
I mean,
right?
If that's what it says, I don't.
That was April 27th. Just a few days before, somehow he manages to be 104 pounds, which, as we've heard from the testimony this morning, is still a good 30 pounds under average weight, right?
Well, my kids are, most of them are slim. Paul is 6'1 and 130. He doesn't even hit the 134 for a 5'8 person. And I lose weight extremely easily. So he at 104, he looked average.
February 14th, I may need some help with it, but I am about to get a lock for the pantry door and a lock for the fridge and both freezers. And then we won't leave any food out of those areas, and he won't have access to unlock those. Okay, Paul's response. Your response, if you disagree, please say so, but he is not going to win this. I may need some help with it, but I'm about to get a... Oh, that's the same thing. So you were bound and determined that he wasn't going to win and get food without asking for permission first, weren't you? Even if that meant locking up all the food.
No, sir, I was bound and determined he would stop being deceitful and sneaky.
He is not going to win this.
Because he was being stubborn. He kept sneaking. He snuck stuff. We found out, actually, it was well before the stroke. Paul discovered it. This was before his first hunger strike, I mean, before anything. Paul went down to the downstairs bathroom one day, and I think it was, I want to say it was at least three cupboards, if not four across, and I guess he'd opened one of the cupboards, and Timothy had snuck a bunch of stuff. I mean, there was wrappers and cans and all sorts of stuff. He did that. I mean, that was, I don't remember if it was before or after my oldest son's wedding, but it was around that time.
And again, your response to all of this, rather than to seek some professional help for him because of these eating issues that he apparently has, is to restrict even further his access to food, right? And then watch his every move on a camera or with a motion sensor or with an alarm, right?
My response was to try to prevent him from being deceitful and sneaky.
April 28th, do you want to have just the one on the pants for tonight? When I leave, you will have to have both of them on so it doesn't get away with anything. So by April 28th, you were putting multiple alarms on his person, weren't you?
If that's what it says, I didn't realize he even owned more than one. I only remember ordering one.
Okay, take off the arm one. But warn him that I will count how many times he moves his arm from the camera picking it up, and he'll be doing stairs for that tomorrow. That's at 11 o'clock in the evening on 428. So you're watching to see how many times he moved his arm when he was in his room?
How many times he dropped his... Was he in his room?
I don't know. You tell me. I wasn't there. All I can do is read you the text message. It says, "Kay, take off the arm one," referencing back to the alarms, "but warn him that I will count how many times he moves his arm from the camera, picking it up, and he will be doing stairs for that tomorrow."
That
he's not sneaking around there, is he?
No, he was up against the wall, and he was supposed to have his arms on his head for a certain amount of time.
Okay, so at 11 o'clock at night,
sometimes
he's supposed to be up against the wall, and you want to make sure that he knows you're going to know how many times he moves his arm, and if it's not satisfactory, he gets to do stairs for that the next day.
Yes, sir, apparently.
April 29th. What did he eat? I ate my burger already. Paul's response, he ate the crust. You remember what your response was?
I don't remember. I heard it the other day, but I don't remember sending that.
Go try to make him throw up, please. That was your response, wasn't it?
If that's what it says.
Don't remember? No, sir. Put that one in the don't remember category?
Like I said, unfortunately, between January and the time he passed away, I don't have a lot of memories in general of Gabriel, of G, of Timothy, of Paul. I know that there are times that I went over to my in-law's house, and I don't remember a lot of that. It's not just this.
So the crime he committed here, just so we're clear, wasn't sneaking frozen chicken nuggets or a bag of chips. It was eating the crust of what sounds to be an already half-eaten burger or an eaten burger. And your response to that is, go make him throw up, please.
If that's what it says, and the crime was, again, it's being sneaky and deceitful. It wasn't about the food. It was because he every time we turned around, he was sneaking something. It wasn't just food. He snuck toys. Like I said, he snuck batteries.
May 5th, did Timothy work hard enough to sleep tonight so you and I can both get some sleep? He will still have to work super hard tomorrow to earn the same, but wanted to ask about tonight first. You want to explain how that falls in with your statement that the reason he wasn't allowed to sleep was because he would keep you guys awake?
I actually do remember that. Timothy asked if he could trade off not getting to sleep for something else, and I had him doing chores.
There's a lot to unpack in that sentence, so I think I'll just start at the end. So he had to ask for permission to sleep.
No,
right?
This was because he had kept us up. Like I said before, he had kept us up, so he wasn't going to get to sleep. And he asked if he could trade that punishment for another punishment.
How is that not having to ask for permission to go to sleep, Ms. Van der Ark?
It wasn't because it was a punishment. It wasn't anything about, he didn't have to ask to go to sleep.
Yeah, I'll do something else if you let me sleep, right?
It was trading a punishment for a punishment.
May 16th, where is Timothy? Paul's response, sorry, I was getting dressed. Timothy is on a 5-minute bathroom timer. Well, 4 now. And your response, why is he on a 5-minute timer? He doesn't get 5 minutes. He gets 60 seconds unless he needs to poop, then he gets 2 minutes. He only got killed at the bathroom for 1 minute or 2 minutes, depending on what he had to do?
I don't remember ever enforcing that, but obviously I sent it. But...
Doesn't that strike you as with everything else that happens? It's just... cruel and unusual to tell a child, heck, to tell anybody, that you only get a certain amount of time in the bathroom? That doesn't strike you as cruel?
I object to this being argumentative.
It's not argumentative.
It's certainly this argument that she can answer the question, but certainly the way it's phrased is an argument. There's no question here. It's an argument. You're the judge with a question mark at the end.
No, I really want to know if she thinks it's cruel to put somebody on a bathroom timer, Jeff.
And the relevance of if she thinks it's cruel. It's simply argumentative, Judge.
I don't think it's argumentative. It would tend to give some insight, I suppose, to her intent. If Mr. Johnson, you would like to clarify or have it clarify what her definition of cruel or unusual is so that we're all on the same page with the witness, that's fine. But I think the question can be asked, so the objection is overruled.
So your response to that, I want my question answered. Is it cruel to make a child go to the bathroom on a timer?
Yes, sir.
May 17th, before I left, when I was having you sign into the camera and turning on the sound for the camera, so you would hear the alarm if it went off. And by the way, I told him yesterday that if he did that in the garage again, he would sleep in the garage for a night. So let him know that he would be doing that as soon as the temperatures are safe enough for him to make him do it. So you were going to have him sleep in the garage for a night.
I actually remember that text message, and I was frustrated. I never would have done it, but I was frustrated. I type really fast, and I admit I have a bad habit of saying stuff when I'm upset. And then calming down later and it being totally different. But I do remember that, and it never happened.
It didn't happen? What didn't happen? You didn't make him sleep in the garage?
No.
Oh. Yes, thank goodness for that. Same day, 12:53. Did he heat the pancake in a cup? Otherwise, it's just powder, and it's not safe to eat without being heated either. When it actually says, did he hear the pancake in the cup? I assume he meant heat the pancake in the cup, right? Do you remember this text exchange?
Vaguely.
And Paul's response, no, he just ate the powder. And your response, that could make him sick, the dummy. Tabasco in his mouth and make him swallow, and lots of it, and do it every 30 minutes until you leave. This was May 17th. You remember this exchange?
I don't remember the Tabasco, because I never called it. I said Tabasco.
Tabasco in the mouth and make him swallow, and lots of it, and do it every 30 minutes until you leave.
I don't remember that being a part of it. I remember part of the conversation, but I don't remember that part of it.
Well, but Timothy obviously didn't like Tabasco, did he?
We didn't have any Tabasco sauce. That's why it doesn't make any sense. We had hot sauce, but we didn't have Tabasco sauce. That's
okay, so the punishment for eating pancake in a cup is Tabasco or some type of hot sauce in the mouth. Is that right?
Sneaking something dangerous? If you're asking what he was punished for, it would be for sneaking.
You were concerned for his well-being?
Yes, sir.
Right. That's why you're having this text exchange, right?
Yes, sir.
You're really concerned for him at that point.
Yes, sir. Those pancakes in a cup had, if I remember correctly, it's been a while, but I think they had eggs in them.
That could make him sick, the dummy. Do you always refer to him as a dummy when you're worried about him?
No, sir. You can look at the text messages. I hardly ever said anything like that.
Hardly ever said anything like that? It's not a good idea to call a child a dummy, is it?
I never would to him. I was frustrated, like I said.
Later on in that same text exchange, Paul says he also crapped himself. And your response is, what? In his pants? Seriously? Paul, I told him to take a 5-minute shower. Make him do the work in the garage with nothing on below the waist. Just make sure the garage door stays closed, and then he can stand down against the wall with nothing on below the waist until you leave. Just please make sure G does not go downstairs at all while he's standing there like that. Break that up again. So make him do the work in the garage with nothing on below the waist. So his punishment for having an accident was that he had to do chores without pants and underwear on, right?
If that's what it says, I don't remember this.
That's pretty humiliating, isn't it?
I mean, he was by himself. It wasn't, I don't remember this at all, sir.
You don't remember that at all?
No, sir.
But you did have the presence of mind at that time that says, just make sure the garage door stays closed because you don't want anyone seeing him doing that, do you?
Well, I didn't want the garage door open ever because we had a lot of stuff out there, so.
And then he can stand against the wall with nothing on below the waist until you leave. So in addition to cleaning the garage, then he has to stand against the wall with no pants and underwear on, correct?
I mean, if that's what it says, I don't remember this.
Please make sure G does not go downstairs at all. Don't remember that either.
No, sir.
Didn't want, but you physically typed these words into your phone and sent them to Paul to make sure that G doesn't see Timothy like that, right?
Yes, sir.
His clothes need to be washed right away, but he gets to be without anything below the waist for a while today. Did he say why the heck he did that? And Paul's response is he said he didn't want to disturb anyone. He had to ask for permission to go to the bathroom, didn't he?
No, sir, not usually. If he was on the wall, he did. Because he was supposed to be standing still.
Handcuff transactions, we've talked about that. So let's get back to your statement to to Detective Pieske. You didn't tell the detective about the warm bath, but you told him that you realized how skinny he was the night before and threatened to take him to the ER if he didn't eat. That's not true, is it?
No, sir.
And you didn't make him a piece of toast and give it to him and make him eat it, did you?
No, sir. I have no idea why I said that. I was traumatized. I actually didn't come out of the first month I was in jail. The Lydia that used to work for the public defender's office visited me, and she said it was pretty obvious that I was under severe trauma. Mm-hmm. I didn't eat for my first month.
This was while they were searching your house on July 6th, while you were sitting in your house.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So you're thinking, I better tell him. Yeah, he looked a little skinny last night, and I thought I should take him to the ER. And then make some toast with butter on it and watched him eat it, and he walked away. None of that happened, did it?
No, I don't even remember that.
But you had the presence of mind to lie to the officer at the time when he was investigating.
Like I said, I was traumatized. I don't remember this, sir.
He wouldn't come upstairs when she said goodnight. She walked down to the last couple of stairs and asked for a hug and a kiss. That didn't happen either, did it?
I don't remember. I mean, I would assume not, but I don't remember.
In fact, you're acknowledging that that video that shows you dragging him into a small room, looking like he does when he dies, calling him a dummy for breathing with his mouth open, is actually what you did to him the night before he died, right?
If that's what it shows, I don't remember, sir.
Your statement to Detective Pieske continues. She got ready for work in the morning and went to check on him. She said his name, but he did not respond. She put her hand on his chest and he was not breathing. She remembered her 20-year-old son, Paul, helping her get him off the bed. That was all a lie, wasn't it?
Yes, sir.
You know where he was when you found him that morning, right?
In the closet.
In the small room. And prior to that, you told Officer Stefanich, well, it was about 5:30, he fell out of bed and I had to go and put him back into bed. Also a lie, right?
Yes, sir. I have no idea why I said that, sir. Like I said, I was traumatized.
You told Detective Pieske that Timothy stated he was on a hunger strike 2 weeks ago. This is 2 weeks before he dies. He goes on a hunger strike.
Yes, sir.
Did he go on a hunger strike?
Yes, sir, he did.
Show me the text message between you and Paul where it says that he's on a hunger strike.
I don't know if I ever texted him about it, sir. We talked about it, but I never texted. I mean, if it's not in there, I don't. We didn't text about everything.
You never texted Paul about him being on a hunger strike?
No, I would have told him that in person. I wouldn't have said that over text message. That would have been important.
But Paul has to watch him for the day when you're not home, right?
Yes, sir.
So it'd be Paul's responsibility to get him some food, right?
Yes, sir.
So while he's on a hunger strike, instead of talking about the hunger strike, your response to that is, give him 4 slices of bread with hot sauce on it, and if he eats them and waits 30 minutes, he can eat 4 without. Right?
I don't know what day that was, sir, if you're...
Well, let's find it and make sure.
I mean, we tried to, just because he wasn't eating, we tried to feed him. That was...
And the best solution you come up with is force him to eat the bread with hot sauce on it. That was the response to the hunger strike?
I don't remember, sir. I mean, it wasn't, we tried to feed him. That's all I remember.
So when would that hunger strike have started?
End of June, late June.
Again, you never looked at the bone thin photo to see what kind of condition he was in before he goes on this hunger strike, right?
Yes, sir.
And did it ever occur to you, like, he's on a hunger strike now? And I know Paul had sent me that text about, you know, he's bone thin. I think we actually need to feed him. We need to actually feed him. It never occurred to you that maybe you should go back and look at that text message now and see what condition he was in at the time?
No, sir. When something's out of sight, it's out of mind. Once that's scrolled up, I don't scroll back to my text messages.
Out of sight, out of mind. That applies to Timothy as well, doesn't it?
That applies to a lot of things, sir. It's not just, I mean, if
not
little man was
Timothy.
If little man was not in front of me right then I wasn't necessarily thinking about him. Paul wasn't.
June 19th, you can do his bread with hot sauce at any time, though preferably sooner rather than later. Put more hot sauce on than you did yesterday, please. And he has to eat at least 3 slices with hot sauce, but he may have more as long as they have plenty of hot sauce on him. That was June 19th. Was he on his hunger strike then?
I would assume not. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have an exact date.
That was about 2 weeks before he passed away, and that's when you said the hunger strike started. Is that right?
Yes, sir. But... Yeah.
Did it occur to you that the hunger strike was because he didn't enjoy eating bread with hot sauce on it?
Did it occur to me? No, sir, because he did it way back in January, and that wasn't the case.
June 21st, how was everything? Did you make him eat his bread with hot sauce? Yeah, and that's when it's the, he gets 4 with hot sauce and then 4 more, 30 minutes. That was June 21st. You don't know if the hunger strike started there then?
I don't know, sir. Like I said, I can only guesstimate. That's... The only reason I remember the 3 weeks the first time around is because it was right after the stroke, and he started eating again before the end of January.
Right. Did you think he's on a second hunger strike now? I really need to get him some treatment for this.
Did I think along those lines? No, sir. He admitted to being... He told us... Very early on after the stroke that he was taking advantage of that because we didn't have the extra set of eyes with my husband and he was being difficult. He actually, Timothy told me that his dad and stepmom used to let him get away with everything. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but I've always been the stricter parent anyway, and he told me on multiple occasions that if he thought that if he pushed me hard enough that I would just quit making him do stuff and I wouldn't make him cooperate.
All right. Well, here's an exchange from June 29th. Maybe this can shed some light on the hunger strike feeding situation. Trust me, I know he's thin. Trust me, I know he's thin. That was your text, not Paul's. You sent.
I don't remember the text, but I mean.
You don't remember that one either?
No, sir.
Trust me, I know he's thin. That being said, he told me a week and a half ago that he wanted to be thin to make me feel bad for punishing him. You don't get to grump at him for that, though I already lit into him plenty for it. Is this while he's on his hunger strike?
I mean, I would assume so, yes, sir.
This is June 29th. This is about 8 days before he dies.
Yeah, I would assume so.
And Paul's response is, of course he did. And your response to that is, yeah, so while I want to fix it, he will get most of his calories from plain bread and rice for, you know, pulling that. He will get plenty of calories but not get to enjoy them that way, you know? That doesn't sound like somebody who's on a hunger strike to me. Can you clarify that for me, please?
I don't remember, but I know he wasn't eating. There was...
Continues on. KK? So yeah, we'll tell you more about what he can eat later, June 29th.
Just because we offered him food doesn't... I mean, we offered him food when he was on the hunger strike in January. At least I did. I mean, I would assume Paul did as well. But just because you offered stuff... I mean, you couldn't... Even though it says try to force him to eat, he couldn't force him to eat stuff. I mean, if he didn't...
You heard Paul's testimony yesterday that he had to force him to eat the bread sauce, the bread with hot sauce on it, didn't you?
Yes, sir. I don't know what he means by that.
It's interesting you use the phrase, we tried to tempt him with food. That came up while he was in the ice bath, didn't it? Tempting him with food.
Do you mean the day before he passed?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, if I said I... Yes, sir. I mean...
You told Paul to heat up some pizza rolls, because G needed the pizza rolls anyway, right? You remember that?
Yes, sir. I don't remember the text message.
So this falls in the I don't remember category as well, is that right?
Like most of it,
yes. Well, the text message says, heat one up, hold it in front of him, but be ready to pull away if he tries to grab it. You don't remember sending any of that?
I don't remember it, no, sir.
You heard the text messages read yesterday, correct?
Yes, sir, I did.
Is it fair to say that you just don't remember those text messages?
Most of them, I don't remember.
Most of them?
Yeah. But then you've got your big bite. I can pretty much guarantee I don't remember most of that either. I don't. And it's not just my text with Paul.
You don't remember anything?
No, sir, I don't.
But somehow you were able to hold down a job as a judicial clerk during that time period, right?
Yes, sir.
And you were able to at least provide dog training to one client at that time, correct?
Yes, sir.
And you remembered to tell Paul to get up and walk Sharma just about every morning, didn't you?
I mean, that would be automatic. It would be reflex. If it's in there, then I would assume so, yes, sir.
That would be reflex? To tell Paul to get up and walk Sharma, is that what you're saying?
I mean, if it's a habit, if I do it enough times, then... And plus, it served to get Paul out of bed when I left, because he'd like to go back to sleep.
You told the officer that there was an alarm on the basement door. This is the small closet, because there was some sewing stuff stored in it. That was a lie, wasn't it?
Yes, sir. There was sewing stuff stored in it before he asked to do that,
but the alarm,
I don't know why I told him that.
The alarm wasn't on there because there was sewing stuff on it, was there?
No, sir.
The alarm was on it because Timothy was supposed to be in there, right?
I mean, as far as I know, like I said, I don't.
Don't. You don't remember, but you were able to lie to the police officer at the time?
I don't remember talking to the police. I mean, I don't remember this part of the conversation with the police officer, sir.
You tell the officer that there were cameras in the home because G would strip down naked and wander around. Well, that wasn't the only reason the cameras were in the house, was it?
No, sir.
You left out all the other details about that you had to monitor Timothy and make sure he didn't go certain places and sneak places and be deceitful, right? You didn't tell the officer that, did you?
Apparently not. I don't know why I didn't, but...
You said he fell out of bed and you went and had to get him and put him back into bed. He never fell out of bed that night, did he?
Not as far as I know. I don't remember, sir.
Well, you know he didn't sleep in the bed that night, don't you?
Well, yeah, so I'm sorry.
Right. So saying that you got up at 5:30 and had to put him back into bed... And then you changed it to 30 minutes because it's sometime with the ending in the 30 because you learned at that point that rigor mortis had already set in and he'd been deceased for a number of hours. That was still a lie, wasn't it?
I mean, yes, sir, I don't remember any of this. I'm sorry.
The hot sauce in the bathroom downstairs was for food. But it wasn't, was it? The hot sauce was for punishment, right?
It was also to put on food.
But you didn't mention that, oh, we also use hot sauce as a form of punishment, did you?
Apparently not.
I'm guessing you probably didn't mention to the officer, oh, we also had the crazy idea yesterday to pour some hot sauce on his penis for a punishment. You didn't mention that either, did you?
Apparently not, sir. Like I said, I don't remember.
You told the officer that you did not restrict Timothy's movement at night with shackles. That was also a lie, wasn't it?
Again, I don't remember, sir. I know we talked about it, but as far as overnight, no.
But you would restrict his movement with shackles, wouldn't you? Whether it was zip ties or handcuffs or leg shackles.
I mean, I can only go back based on the text messages. I don't know.
Why did you wait 20 minutes to call 911 after you found Timothy deceased in the small closet in the small room?
I have no idea, honestly. I learned of that gap, just a couple of days ago. The whole day is surreal to me, so I have no idea why we waited like that. I don't know. I can't imagine waiting, but apparently it happened. I don't know.
Do you remember Paul asking you, should we call 911?
I don't remember him ever asking. Because I was the one that called. And I was the one, I remember performing CPR. And he did help me out a little bit when I got tired to take over a little bit. But, I mean, I can't imagine ever saying no to that.
But if it's on the video, that's what you said, right?
If it's on there.
So if the video showed that it begins with you with movement outside of the room at about 6:19:21, and 911 is actually called you tell Paul you have to call at 6:37, so that's about 18 minutes, isn't it?
Let's see, 19, yeah, that's 18 minutes.
And Timothy was never responsive to you, was he?
No, sir.
His eyes were wide open, completely glazed over, weren't they?
As far as I remember, yes, sir.
He never moved, never took a breath, never did anything, did he?
No, sir.
And while this is all going on, you tell Paul, we'll have to tell them he was on a hunger strike, right? Remember telling him that?
No, I don't.
Don't remember that either?
No, sir.
Do you remember telling Paul, or do you remember saying, put his pants on to make it look like he's been this way?
I don't remember saying that.
Do you remember asking Paul to put the belt on to make it sure that that's the way he looked?
No, sir.
But if they're on video, you said those things,
yes,
right?
Yes, sir.
Van Ark, isn't it true? Timothy had just become nothing more than an annoyance for you, and he wasn't even a human being in your eyes anymore.
That is absolutely not true.
There's more to come in the trial of Shanda Van Der Ark, here from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast. Stay with us.
Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Maybe your car's paint is faded, or you've been meaning to fix that scrape from the grocery store parking lot. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. Now, here's the best part. Stop by your local Maaco, free estimate, and you're going to find out how easy it is to refresh your ride. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. And you can do so with the great folks at Maaco. At Maaco, they are proud to be a trusted partner for drivers across the country. Whether it's a fresh coat of paint for your car or fixing up everyday dents and dings, Maaco is here to keep your car looking its best. Get started. Visit your local Maaco today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
How's your car looking? Showing its age? Faded paint? Dents? Dings? Don't worry. Maaco is here to help. They're the experts in affordable paint jobs and light collision repairs, helping you keep your car looking its best without breaking the bank. Most cars on the road could use a little bit of love. And keep in mind, with Americans keeping their vehicles longer, protecting your investment has never been more important. At Maaco, they make it really easy. You come in, free estimate, and the expert technicians will handle the rest. With Maaco's national reach and community focus, you're not just getting top-notch service. You're actually getting a partner you can trust. Don't let those little imperfections add up. You want to keep your car on the road. You want to give it a little bit of love. And you can do so with the great folks at Maaco. Visit your local Maaco today and see how they can refresh your ride. Go in, get the free estimate, and the expert technicians will take care of everything after that. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Maybe your car's paint is faded, or you've been meaning to fix that scrape from the grocery store parking lot. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. Now, here's the best part. Stop by your local Maaco, free estimate, and you're going to find out how easy it is to refresh your ride. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. And you can do so with the great folks at Maaco. At Maaco, they are proud to be a trusted partner for drivers across the country. Whether it's a fresh coat of paint for your car or fixing up everyday dents and dings, Maaco is here to keep your car looking its best. Get started, visit your local Maaco today, get the free estimate, and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh! Better get Maaco.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Maybe your car's paint is faded, or you've been meaning to fix that scrape from the grocery store parking lot. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. Now, here's the best part. Stop by your local Maaco, free estimate, and you're going to find out how easy it is to refresh your ride. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. And you can do so with the great folks at Maaco. At Maaco, they are proud to be a trusted partner for drivers across the country. Whether it's a fresh coat of paint for your car or fixing up everyday dents and dings, Maaco is here to keep your car looking its best. Get started, visit your local Maaco today, get the free estimate, and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Maybe your car's paint is faded, or you've been meaning to fix that scrape from the grocery store parking lot. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. Now, here's the best part. Stop by your local Maaco, free estimate, and you're going to find out how easy it is to refresh your ride. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. And you can do so with the great folks at Maaco. At Maaco, they are proud to be a trusted partner for drivers across the country. Whether it's a fresh coat of paint for your car or fixing up everyday dents and dings, Maaco is here to keep your car looking its best. Get started, visit your local Maaco today, get the free estimate, and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Maaco.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code iHeart or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Cars today are built to last, but how they look is up to you, and that's where Maaco comes in. They specialize in cosmetic repairs. Let's say it's affordable paint jobs to fixing those annoying dents and dings. Maybe your car's paint is faded, or you've been meaning to fix that scrape from the grocery store parking lot. Whatever it is, Maaco has you covered. Now, here's the best part. Stop by your local Maaco, free estimate, and you're going to find out how easy it is to refresh your ride. With more Americans keeping their cars longer, now's the time to protect your investment and keep it looking sharp for years. And you can do so with the great folks at Maaco. At Maaco, they are proud to be a trusted partner for drivers across the country. Whether it's a fresh coat of paint for your car or fixing up everyday dents and dings, Maaco is here to keep your car looking its best. Get started. Visit your local Mako today. Get the free estimate and see how easy it is to bring new life to your ride. Uh-oh, better get Mako.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply. You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never-tested-on-animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.